Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the
podcast. Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, joining me always, Christopher Glasson. Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Not too bad.
A little bit blinded.
It is quite blinded
by the studio
today. We've had a last minute panic with the lights, haven't we? It's going to be one of the ones when we sort of finish for the rest of the day, you're just going to have them like luminous like dots in your eyes constantly.
Just have like a serious road traffic accident on the
something
way
like
home.
That.
Nothing major.
Absolutely. Well, look, before we introduce today's guests, let's quickly thank our sponsors. The Say What podcast is a comedy podcast from Notorious FAWT and Big Papa J. If you like listening to essentially two idiots talking utter shit, if you've had enough of this podcast, then I would go and check out the Say What podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms.
They've currently been getting taken down off of Instagram and posting things on other social media sites because of some TV show pitches that they came up with when we were on their podcast. Tony has been creating his own video content of, what was it called, splurging? What is it, when you're trawling the Thames for...
Magnet fishing with Alison Hammond.
Fishing.
Yeah, it was...
it's great, though. Go and check them out. Say What podcast, very funny.
Who else?
We've got Southern Martial Arts with Wrenchy Simon James. So if you would like to become a martial arts instructor, you can go and get fast-tracked, even from white belt through to instructor. If you want a career change, go and check out Southern Martial Arts. All their links are on our website. Or just go and learn martial arts. Go and check out Southern Martial Arts. You can learn a variety of disciplines through Wrenchy Simon James. Or like mother and baby self-defense, which is just throwing your child. I assume you throw your child at the assailant and then you make it speedy getaway.
Or you learn how to beat up your child.
Yeah, it's both.
Proud sponsors of Hardcore Listing. We are joined today. Big thanks to No Need to Shout for introducing us. Phil Ellis, how are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks. I'm liking the idea of a sponsor's advert ending with "just punch your baby." Anyway, so check that out.
They're just
screaming. Check those guys out.
They're just screaming at the speaker, going, "That's not what I told you to say."
Yeah, that's... if you want to use it. Toddler as a human shield. Get yourself over there now. Log on.
Love it.
Brilliant.
Love it.
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Absolutely.
Oh, excellent.
I'm loving the photo over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Scene from Psycho.
Yeah. It seems to be. I've only put it up the other day, and I've realised it just looks like at this angle that there's just a screaming woman going. It's like, if you crop it, it's just like, oh God, he's in the house again. Like, you don't know the. But yeah, it's. Yeah, we got it off Freecycle.
Love it.
Well,
all right,
mate. Yeah. And very apt for your top five today, although. Wrong decade, but still same genre.
A lot of these are copying it.
Absolutely,
yeah, for sure, man.
So, would you like to introduce your top five, Phil? What are you going to go for today?
So, I'm going for 80s horror films.
Love it.
Yeah,
love it.
A bit of sci-fi horror in there. I thought I'd mix it up a bit.
Nice.
That's my top five.
I'm so glad you picked this.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I panicked a bit. I thought, well. Don't know what my other interests are. Top five horrible memories. top five companies I'm in debt to.
Keep it light, Phil.
Top five places I cry in.
well, shout out to Kirsty and Reach Out for Mental Health. We had her on last week. We should have had you on for that if you wanted to dive into that, Phil. We'll get you on the couch.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, when I've done a podcast, they do go, if you've been affected by anything, bro. You know, you need to put that at the end of Hollyoaks. They found that as harrowing as we did.
I love to think that we're the first podcast you've been on that doesn't require a trigger warning.
all our listeners are like, yes, no, we know what we're expected to hear.
Yeah. That was great. As soon as I heard the punching a baby bit, I went, "Oh, I can take my shoes off.
Relax, <All right>. Relax.
All right, I'm good. I can't beat that. I'm all right."
Fantastic. Well, I mean, you popped up on our radar a long time ago, actually. A good friend of the podcast, Mr. Rich Wilson, was bigging you up.
Oh, excellent! I love Rich. Yeah, oh, great.
Yeah, he spoke very highly of you.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, he was in my last show, the tough one, the really tough run. He was in that one. God bless him. The last years went well. He went, "Oh, for fuck's sake." He went, "Why don't you get me in this one?"
Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Well, look, before we get on to your number five, how did your love of 80s horror come about?
I think my dad got me into it, really, because my dad used to be a forklift driver at Whitbread's Brewery, and that's in the 80s.
I really thought you were going to say my dad was like a director and a forklift driver.
So you can imagine the horror. He saw some things. He saw pallets all over. And, the horror. But it was because he used to bring home videos that you'd get, like, that you pay, basically pirate videos. Mm. So, you know, I don't think he's going to get done now. funny if he did. Sorry, Dad, you have to live out your remaining years
in the behind bars.
Yeah, yeah, for pirate copying Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Phil, do you know how crazy it is? That was the first pirate I ever saw.
Like,
I was so desperate to see that film. The hype around it was so... I was about like 8 or 9 when it came out. And from the very first pirate, I realised why it's not worth watching a pirate, because it was such bad quality. I was so excited, and it was just like... It was just colours on a screen.
There's only so much time you can spend with the tracking and there and before like you just think, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, because it's a really dark film anyway, isn't it? Yeah. That's I had that on pirate, and I remember going, friends coming around. I was like, "It's amazing!" And they were going, "What the?" I see them going, "Hey, I'm like, look, there's that's Donatello." So he used to bring back like RoboCop and they're like, "Oh, sorry, I've gone off my. Oh no, I've messed it. I meant to put. Why do people? Anyway, I don't get messages very often, but whenever I'm doing a podcast, people go, "Oh, let's check in on Phil, make sure she's not dead."
The good thing is we can't see any of them flash up, and I'm thankful for that, because the messages I get from my friends when we're on podcasts,
get cancelled.
Pretty much cancelled pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Get them on.
What's your number five, mate?
Number five, we've got... So I thought I'd start with a franchise. Mm. It's very close to my heart, which is Friday the 13th. And it's part three, I think, is the best.
Nice.
So part three. Yeah, because the first one I ever watched was part 8. And it's probably the worst. It takes my hand.
Where do you and start do with part 8 and go, "Do you know what? This was so shit, I'm going to watch the other 7.
Yeah. But it's like, well, people do that with, with wives. I'll pick the worst one first, and then I'll find the right one after about 10 years.
No reason not to get married.
Yeah. Don't start with the best.
Well, yeah, I mean, in a way, that just makes it even better when you see the first or the third one. The third one's really good. Good choice. Like, yeah, but like 8, I can't even remember what part 8 is now. I mean...
It's called Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah.
That's not any good.
Well, that's 8, yeah.
No, because they obviously didn't have the budget to go to Manhattan. So they're just on a boat for ages. Yeah. And for some reason, it's a boat. It's supposed to be a cruise ship, but it's clearly just like a frigate that's out of action. And it goes from a lake to the ocean, which no one knows how, and ends up in New York. And there's like one shot of Jason just walking through Times Square, and then that's it.
That's all, yeah, all they terrible. Needed to put New York on it. Just getting one frame of him in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just get Jason going, I'm walking here!
Hi, guys.
Clearly. Yeah, is that... I'm thinking he's in Hull. I'm walking here. Some extra with a hot dog behind him. New York.
So how comes your pick three? Was it a tough choice out of the others?
I think, well, it's weird, isn't it? Because it's funny now how I like to go, I can't believe that young people don't have the attention span to sit down. But then I don't think I do either now. And I watched the first one. I was like, Christ alive, it's slow. Oh, my God. Kill Kevin Bacon. Do it. Let's do it. Kill him. So the third one's got a good pace into it. I like the pace. It does all the tropes that you want from a Freddy one. You've got, and then you're introduced to the hockey mask, which is really good fun. And it's... And it's good because you can tell they like the kills. So characters just come in for no reason to get killed. Yeah. It's like one, for some reason, it just goes to a couple in a car park going, let's have sex. And then they go, don't even know who they are, but they get killed. And then he goes, oh, well, meanwhile, back at the camp. So it's great. Yeah. It's just silly. And yeah, I just really like it. I'm not sure what your guys' history is with the Friday the 13th, if you're fans or...
Yeah, like, I've watched them all. I've never been the biggest fan of... I like some slashers. I've watched loads of slashers, like hundreds of them. And Friday the 13th, I think 3 is really good. I think they did better moving it on from, like, the original, because Freddy became more his own, became more in his own, after the first film, didn't he, really? He was, like, wasn't that much in it. In the first one, really, was it?
These are the Jamie Lee Curtis ones, right?
No, that's Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jason's not technically, he is in the first one, but it's spoilers for 1979 film. But it's his mum that's the killer in the first one. But yeah, and I think once the hockey mask comes in, that's what you think of with Jason, and it's so stupid. I just find it funny sometimes, and it's just, I mean, some of them are ridiculous. You go, oh, this is a really nice cat. They've actually rounded off this character, this guy in a wheelchair. He's really good. Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, no, he's being macheted in the face. And then you go, oh, yeah, and now he's rolling down some stairs backwards. Where are these stairs? It's a camp by a lake. There's only a log cabin. Just cuts to go down all these stairs. Just like, this is funny. This is funny.
Did they just like that character? Because of that, most detail they gave dimensions to a character was just for the payoff of seeing, you know, him just rolling backwards down some stairs.
Yeah. You can tell the writer just saw a bloke in a wheelchair went, that'll be funny going down the stairs backwards. Right. Sorry.
So speaking of horror, and your dad getting the pirates, was you privy to the Video Nasty?
A little, like, so my dad would bring back stuff like RoboCop and The Predator. So stuff that he went, you can handle that. And it's fun. Because you look at that now, kids, like, particularly in the 80s, I bought, like, lads and, well, anyone really, but we loved all that. I mean, like, RoboCop and Predator and Aliens. Yeah. So it wasn't like we went to bed going, oh, RoboCop, Ed 209's going to, you know, all that. But the Video Nasties, the one I remember is, so one, we couldn't see Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so that was just odd. I did get a Pirate of Clockwork Orange when I was a bit older, before that came back out. But the Faces of Death was the one I remembered everyone talking about, And I did see that at my friend's house, and it was clear from the beginning that it was loved. I thought, my God, I'm going to see someone get, and I went, oh, this is... It's just silly. It's like a bear's coming, and they go, oh, my God! It just goes to... But, yeah, did you guys see that one?
I mean, I don't know if that's the same one that I saw, because the one I saw was, like, we had this mate called Ross, and at like school lunchtimes, we mentioned this on an episode a few weeks ago, that he would also get the pornography, and so it was like an E.T.-style exodus on our grifters, all going around his one lunchtime to either watch like some like ropey old VHS porn that he'd found. But he'd also kind of get hold of the Video Nasties, and Faces of Death was one of them, as far as I remember, and I'll Spit on Your Grave was the other one. And
oh yeah, yeah.
And I remember Faces of Death. The one that we watched was really fucking horrible. It was like actual footage of someone jumping out of a plane and the parachute not opening and just hitting the ground. And then there was another one that was sort of filmed in the Middle East, and it was this sort of circular table, and they put a monkey in the middle of the table and clamped its neck, and it was sort of spinning around, and they were all hitting it like a boiled egg and then ate its brains. And like, I don't know if that's the same Faces of Death as what you saw, but it was fucking horrific. And it was one of them ones where the same with Spit on Your Grave, we was all just like, yes, this is going to be well good. And like, and we was all kind of probably about 13, 14 going, wee! And then as soon as it came on, everyone was like, oh my God, this is horrific.
Yeah. There's a difference as well, because there's films like that, which, you know, it's not like Faces of Death is just like, it's way more taboo because it's people, like you say, like, you know, I think as a kid you might think, there's some sort of taboo around that. And then you start to watch it and go, morally, this just feels fucking reprehensible.
Yeah.
Whereas I Spit on Your Grave and that would, or Clockwork Orange, is a matter of perspective of how much is too far in terms of how they've decided to film it and stuff like that. Because Clockwork Orange, looking back now, like, I haven't watched it for 10 years, but...
Still cool as fuck.
It was cool, but I don't know, like, in today's... I don't know if I'm just desensitised. But yeah, I just don't think it's that... I think it's weird that they banned that one, amongst others.
Yeah.
I think he banned it himself because wanted to edit it. Yeah, there'd been some copycat killings.
That's it,
Because there's a bit where they beat up a homeless guy at the beginning and someone had done that dress, so he went, I'll just take it off.
Yeah.
So I think he was only in the UK. I may be wrong with that, but I'm pretty sure he did it. And that's so it came out when he died. They went, I can release it now.
Maybe he'd had a run-in with some homeless people and decided he didn't like them anymore, so it's like, right, that's it, fuck it.
Yeah, I cancelled my shelter and he still took out 1 month, 12 quid, right, that's it, get it out, get it on the shelves.
The other pirate that the video nasty, have you seen Cannibal Ferox?
No,
there was an exploitation that was weird subgenre in the 80s and 70s, and cannibalism is one of the big ones. Yeah, and I've not seen that one. I saw Cannibal Holocaust, but
yeah, I literally watched it a couple of days ago. There's a thing on Prime, and it's quite an old doc, but they talk about, it's called like The Video Nasty or something like that, and then they basically talk about all of those films, and obviously they don't show the most salacious clips, but it's a fascinating. Yes. Watch, because when you see it now, you just think, yes, just shit. But like at the time, it was like jaw dropping and like harrowing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's an odd, like, they do feel a bit grubby.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not like the films that you watch because of the gritty like film and that. You kind of go, oh, it's a bit. And there's one that, I'm trying to think what it's called. Again, like the exploitation ones. I watched, The Hills Have Eyes, I rewatched.
Mm. Yeah.
And even that, you go, ugh.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a bit rank in it.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, the other thing I noticed is the cruelty to animals. That's what really hits us. I don't think we care about all the teenagers getting, but in Friday the 13th, there's a bit where they chop up a snake, and I went, well, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I went, well, obviously it's a fake snake, and it's a real one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went, oh, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Phil. I was reading only a couple of days ago about Cannibal Holocaust, and obviously there's animal cruelty in that. It's the reason why I won't watch it. I know it's I'm kind of like this whole the whole video nasty thing. Like when I hated horror as a kid, Phil. I hated it. Like I liked things like Weird. I was really drawn to like RoboCop, Predator, Commando, all those sort of things. But once it went into a certain style of horror, I was terrified of it. I couldn't watch it until I was much older. But then I really got into horror, and I watched every horror I could, even the more extreme ones. And after a while, I was just like, you know what? I've got a line of what I kind of want to see. And actually, classifications are there because like they started saying that, you know,
that's
the reason
why you had your hard drive confiscated by the old bill, wasn't it?
That was the reason. Don't delve any more into that. Just accept that was the reason. but like, you know, they say it because some of these films now, like they can be like emotionally scarring. And I've seen horrors now where I'm like, oh God, like I just, I'll never watch it again, and I wish I'd never seen it. But we've gone straight from, hey, 80s horrors to, let's talk about the most awful aspects. They're not all like that. I mean, like, Friday the 13th certainly wasn't, like, emotionally scarring me. It was, you know, it's that, like, slashers can be funny as well as a bit of a thrill, and you might see a boob as well, which was often thrown in there, so...
There was always boobs in 80s horror films.
As a, like, 10-year-old, it was quite thrilling, wasn't it?
Oh,
wow,
yeah,
it's a jug.
But I've noticed there's boobs in just every 80s film.
Yeah.
Like, it's true. Police Academy. It's like, what are you doing in Police Academy 2, boobs? It's just for no reason. You've got, what's his name, Steve Guttenberg on a dirt bike going across the beach. And I went, and they had two girls for no reason. They were lingering on them. And I went, I bet one gets up and shows up. I went, and she goes, oh, what's that?
Phil, you are in a safe space, mate. The first Police Academy film is in my top 10 films of all time. Like, I fucking love Gutenberg.
It's brilliant. I think Police Academy is really funny. It's just such a funny, it's just when you look back and go, someone just went, we need boobs. Right, just have him. It's just funny how they go. Yeah, that'll do.
Howard the Duck. They did it in Howard the Duck. No reason for a set of duck tits, but they're in there.
There's no 80s police cop film where at some point a door gets kicked open and there is a startled woman who jumps up.
Covers up.
Boobs, like, always, every single film. I think it was just, you know, part and parcel of what went into filmmaking then.
It's just boxing exercise.
Number four.
Commando. So I just watched Commando again the other day, which I loved. Commando. Yeah, yeah. So good. And there's a bit where they're fighting and he goes through a wall in a motel. Yeah. And just having sex, but it's like for ages. And I go, why are we watching a couple having sex? And you go, hey! And they go, oh, they're going to go,
the Kramer crew forgot.
Yeah. So goes,
get back to the plot.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's fine, the green You'd never go through there and there's someone just trying to work the telly out with a remote, would you? It's always sex, isn't it?
Come on, come on.
How does this bloody Nespresso work?
Got a Wi-Fi password.
That was Commando, was my diesel video first. So Commando was my first AE, and I remember my mum, like, getting hold of that and, like, looking at the video cassette and being like, this is, I'm so...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Naughty, because I'm not 18.
Yeah.
And, like, my friend's telling us about the scene where, and I don't know if this is true or not, this is, like, the beauty of back then, like, there was no way of proving or disproving when people start saying, no, but you've not got the full cut. Because the full cut of Commando, there's a scene where he's in a shed and he throws out, like, one of those, he's stuck in a shed, he does a bit of an A-team. He comes out and he's got, like, a
circular saw blade.
Yeah. He's like, oh, he throws it and he gets stuck in someone's head. So, like, I was terrified waiting for that scene, and then it wasn't on there. And I'm like, has my mate lied to me? Did that happen?
Did it
cut out? I don't know. I don't know if I saw a cut version of it or whatever, but yeah.
Maybe your mum didn't think he was up to it.
She just covered my eyes at that point. Like the toxic scene in... anyway, I don't want to... I don't know what's coming up in your top five, so...
Let's get to number four, Phil. What you got, mate?
So number four, I sort of swapped this. It was originally going to be Life Force.
Oh, good choice. By,
Toby Hooper. Yeah. And I'm sort of in a mix between that and, so it's between that and Fright Night.
Oh, yeah, both good.
Which I really like. Yeah, yeah. Because I kind of just, as I sat down, I went, fuck, I forgot about Fright Night. Yeah. But I think I'm going to go for Life Force because I like, it's such a weird film.
Yeah, it is.
And it's got everything. It's canon. trying to do a big thing and getting it a bit wrong. You got Toby Hooper from Texas Chainsaw Massacre just going as weird as he wants. And it's space vampires.
Space vamps.
It was famous for the beautiful naked space vampire just walking through. To the point they had to close the set because he went, why is the guy here who drives the car just to watch it?
He just picked,
we don't need it.
He just picked me up this morning.
Yeah, but it was just those horrible, like, it's just horny old blokes in the car. Why is the caterer here for the, get out? It's good. But it's a great film. It's so weird. Now, like, you're going to go, this would never get cleared. It's just so much weird. But really fun.
I've not seen it, so break down that premise a little more, because I'm it sounds fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, so it was called Space Vampires, and that's why Toby Hooper went brilliant. But then they went, we can't call it Space Vampires. He was like, why not? Anyway, they called it Life Force, and it bombed. It's one of the films that crashed canon, because all the canon films were great, like Missing in Action and all the Cyborg. So Toby Hooper directs it, Texas Chainsaw Massacre fame, and Poltergeist he's coming off the back of. And it's basically some astronauts find a spaceship full of these bats, weird big bats, and then three naked people, two beautiful naked, like twin men, and a beautiful naked girl in these glass things, take them back, and then all of a sudden they're on Earth, and they suck the life force out of people, turn them into like skeletons drained, like sort of really like horrible like corpses, like, and then they come to life, suck the life force out of someone else, or they just explode. It's fucking, it's weird. Patrick Stewart's in there in his first ever film role. He kisses the main character for some reason because he gets possessed. None of it makes sense, really. He gets possessed by one of the vampires, and it all ends up with London just full of zombies and vampires. It's mad.
It's really mad. It goes on to such a mad, grand, like world-ending sort of scale. But like you say, Phil, like, because I didn't watch it in the '80s. In fact, I didn't watch it until probably 10 years ago. And because it, like, people don't talk about it, and like I'm dredging for horrors I haven't seen, and people are like, "You've seen Life Force?" So I'm like, "No." So you're just desperate to watch something new. And actually, it is cool. Like it, it's so different to everything else that I've seen, really. And such weird concepts. And also, I mean, like, you got me at Space Vampires, and he fucked up not calling it Space Vampires, to be honest with you. It does what it needs to in terms of getting people into the cinema. Yeah.
When you watch a horror, what's your sort of ideal situation to watch one in? Like, are you like curtain shut? Are you like trying to freak yourself out?
I think, I mean, I'd like that, but I suppose it's probably the best setting, isn't it? Because I've watched a lot. I think when you get older, the sillier ones that would scare you when you're younger, obviously you're like, I'm not really scared of this, like Life Force, I'm not going, but even Friday the 13th, I go, I'm not scared of, I was terrified of Jason when I was younger, but obviously now I just find it quite funny.
Yeah.
But if I'm watching a new one that's a creepy, because it's more sort of spirits, and you know, like I watched It Follows really freaked me out.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, and that freaked me out because I was in the cinema and the whole premise is like, you don't know what it looks like. And if anyone walked in from that, I'd be like, oh, God. It just like creeped me out, that whole thing. But yeah, I think the cinema's good. But then you've got the worry that someone's going to be making noise over here or on the phone. But a scary, good, scary film that gets the whole room in a cinema is great, I think, because everyone's like,
I went to see The Woman in Black with my previous missus, and she was freaking out so hard that it was getting to me. And like,
really?
Because like, you know, it's reasonably scary sort of film, but like, she was looking around like this all the way through the film, like people are going to creep up on her. And it was it made it at least like 20% scarier for me.
Yeah.
It was better because like, I want to get freaked out. Like, I'll try and watch films late at night on my own, like the horrors. And yeah, but my fiance, she can't hack horror at, like, for her, like, we'll watch something like I'm trying to think, where she said that was really intense, wasn't it? Like, even Harry Potter at points, she's like, that was intense, yeah, wasn't it? And I'm like, I feel like dead inside when she says that, because I'm like, it was really enjoyable, but yeah. I'm not like oh no.
Yeah.
We tried to watch Truth Seekers. I don't know if you've seen that, Phil. It's like a TV show, like Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and they're like, sort of like, it's a bit like, Ghost Watch. And the very first like scene, Molly sat, she said like, no, come on, I'm really going to try. I'm really, really going to try with this one. I'm like, wicked. Yeah. So both sit down, press play. Within probably about 10 seconds, there's like somebody on fire. And Molly, it's almost like you couldn't have overreacted her reaction. She stands up, runs out the lounge with her hands in the air screaming. And I'm like, well, we won't be watching that then. Like, she was that terrified.
Wow.
Or probably like, ah.
Yeah, she was like, ah! And I felt so bad because I don't know sometimes. I know her level now, which is Teletubbies.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's just some people get absolutely freaked out.
Love
she
it.
She won't be watching Life Force, that's for sure.
Oh, God.
What you got?
Go on.
No, go on. What you can say, Phil?
I was just going to say, gaming now is the scariest for me.
Yeah.
More than, so when I'm playing like a new horror game, I turn the lights off and stuff, and that really creeps me out because you feel more in it.
Yeah.
I guess it's so cinematic now. Yeah. It's like replaying Resident Evil 4.
Oh, amazing. The remake.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've just downloaded Resident Evil 3 for free, so I'm a bit behind, but I can't wait to play 4.
Right.
I can't wait to play 4.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, you'll love it. Because there's bits where you just go, you can just hear a chainsaw and you go, oh. you've got to go there. You go, oh. It just builds his tension. It's like, well, I could turn it off, but okay. But yeah, so that was there.
Our mutual friend, Scroobius Pip, he got a PlayStation, sent him a load of free shit, and they sent him PlayStation VR. So one weekend, me and him just like sat down, and he had Resident Evil 7 on VR, and that, oh man, I love the Resident Evil games. Yeah. Resident Evil 7 in VR is going to absolutely make you shit your pants beyond any game that I play. It was so much fun to play it, like, and you're actually surrounded by, yeah, as you say, people running around with chainsaws. And it's absolutely bloody great. Do you ever play Outlast? Have you played that?
No, which one's that?
It's you're escaping, like, you go to investigate a sort of like mental asylum, and all you've got is a camcorder with night vision.
I just downloaded Outlast 2.
Yeah.
And I started playing it, and it was shitting me up too much. Yeah, you use your camera, don't you, with the night thing, I went, because I'm so stressed with work and that, I went, I can't be asked for this. I don't need this. Let's have some downtime. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But, yeah, it's terrifying.
Should we have your number three?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, my number three is... All right, so I went for another Nightmare on Elm Street, another franchise. And I'm going to put in... the first one, I think, is technically the best, but the most fun... I've put number three, the Dream Warriors, which I think is a pretty popular one, yeah. But the first one I ever watched with that was 2, and that's regarded as like the worst one, but that was the first one I saw, weirdly. But yeah, I just love it. It's dead fun. It's when it gets, doesn't go too far with Freddy just coming in going, hey, yeah. But it's still a bit creepy, but it's getting inventive with the kills and the special effects are fun, and you got Zsa Zsa Gabor in it.
Yeah, what more do you want? Of course. it's mad. It's like being, you know, old and being a kid in the 80s. The hysteria around the first one coming out was like, this is the scariest thing that's ever been made. And I remember the first time I see like Freddy, I was like, fucking hell, that is really horrible.
Same.
And like really scary. And the first film's fucking incredible, wasn't
it? It's really good. I didn't watch it till I was older.
Yeah.
And I was actually genuinely, wow, there's some great, great scares in that. And him as a character, Because I remember kids in the playground would sing like one, two, Freddy's come. It would freak me the fuck out. Like I remember, like I said, I wasn't into horror when I was young, and my mates would be singing that in the playground and being like, "Oh, and then this happens," and I'd be like, "Fuck, watching that."
Yeah, awful.
And then eventually, when I got into horror, being like, "It's such a good Freddy's such a great horror character," and like his powers being able to like invade your dreams. It's just like that's just the worst thing, isn't it, for a horror thing? Yeah, when you sleep, that's when he can kill you. Oh well, fuck.
What's the premise of Three, Phil?
So Three is like so it's called the Dream Warriors, and so the second one was pretty bad. I don't know, it's got its moments, but it didn't know what it was doing so much. So the third one went, well, what do they like? They like the dream thing. So the third one's basically a lot of kids who are in a mental asylum kind of thing, like a ward, like a children's ward kind of thing for people with mental illness or different things. So there's different characters. So you've got a guy in a wheelchair. There's a few people like, there's a guy who's got body issues. There's a girl who's got this. So in their dreams, they can all weirdly connect with each other. In the dreams, they've got these powers. But they're like, and in the dreams, they can be whatever they want. So the guy in the wheelchairs, they're all the dream warriors. He's like, he can fly around. He's a wizard. And there's a girl who's got, she's like a badass punk. She's like, yeah, I got flick knives. So that's her thing. And but she's a drug addict. She's a recovering addict. And so there's all these different things. And then of course, Freddy comes after them. And just starts picking them all off one by one, but using all their insecurities and things to get to them. But they all come together and go, we're getting our dreams. But some of them, it's quite funny when he goes, I'm a wizard. And he goes, oh, fuck off. And he goes, oh, God, do that. Oh, no, I'm going to. I love a building that. But there's all these kills with, like, he's using one's quite bad where he cuts the ligaments out and then he's using him as a puppet. So it's all quite inventive. Yeah. It's a bit like, oh, it's quite gooey and like. Bleh.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the premise. So good, isn't it? Like the special effects in that one for sure, man. Like, I mean, there's some good stuff even in the first one, but like by the third one, they really started to lean into it, and that, and then how the drug addict girl, how she goes, it's all a bit like, oh no, that's really horrible to watch. But yeah, it's still like thrilling and fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the ligament one was definitely the one that just sticks out in my mind as like, oh man, he's playing him like a puppet, isn't he? From what is he like? Yeah. Oh, nasty.
Is Freddy the most iconic horror character?
No, just take. I it's like you and music. When it comes to horror, I can't make up my opinions change on it quite quickly. Because but he's got to be up there. He's got a great setup, man. He's got everything you need. The fact that he's even got like little spooky songs.
Yeah.
You know,
he had. He actually released the track as well.
Did he really?
Yeah, I'm
sure. Oh, he probably did.
Yeah, I'm sure Freddie had a record out, and I'm sure it was like with a rapper. I can't think what it was. I'm gonna.
Freddie's Dead. There was a rap. Yeah, there's a Freddie rap.
No way.
I wonder if it. It must have come out because it was weird in the '80s. Because before we'd even, you're probably the same. Like before we'd even seen one of the films, we all knew who he was.
Yeah, the toys were out.
There was toys, and it was like, and he was on. He had like lunch boxes. Like, it was such a weird thing, wasn't it? And he used to pop up on like chat shows and things. Yeah. Hey, your film's out, fucking. It's so weird. But yeah, it's you can imagine him on This Morning with Dermot. I really think this is my finest work.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. I mean, because I'm trying to remember the guy from The Hills Have Eyes, because my only recollection of him is looking a bit like that World Cup referee from the 90s.
And a bit like
the bloke from Midnight Oil.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was a bit Freddy-esque, wasn't he? He was like,
I guess. Were they just both bald?
They're both
kind of like one's a Burns victim, one's just got a very. I can't remember the actor's name from Hills Have Eyes, but his whole career.
He's
like,
still going.
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah, he really lent into it.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now, what if we could fix it?
I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Really lent into, like, you know, the directors were like, wow, you've just got such a obviously interesting and quite intimidating look. And he was like, fuck it, mate, I'm gonna absolutely make a packet out of looking like this.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just kills it in Hills Have Eyes. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
They want you for Notting Hill too. I think you've got the perfect look to Hugh Grant's character. Really? Fuck no. You're in this freaky film. Get it. Get in there, put a sack on you, fucking weird bastard. Oh, not again.
Oh, fantastic. What you got at number two, Phil?
Number two.
Number two is the 80s remake of The Blob.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Which is brilliant, and it was the first. I bought the DVDs like a loser. I got the Blu-ray, so it's out on Blu-ray, and it's still really good. Yeah. And it's Chuck Russell. I mean, Chuck Russell directed. Frank Darabont co-wrote it of Shawshank Redemption, Fame, and Walking Dead, and it's just brilliant. Like the effects, and they do. I won't ruin it if anyone wants to watch it, but it's got these twists in it that I remember as a kid going, oh, it's going to be scary. I was like, The Blob, you know, because I was like, The Predator, it's an alien thing. I watched this. And then it does something at the beginning that I went, oh, fuck, you can't do that. I was like, what? And then it does something later on. I went, oh, well, this can just, what? And I was just like, turned it off. And I went, I couldn't sleep that night. I was going, oh, my God, no one's safe from The Blob. And that was it. I was like, it's so weird. I mean, it looked, the special effects are disgusting and brilliant.
They really are.
And it's so fast.
Yeah.
It's really good. And it's good characters, funny, quick, yeah.
I'm going to have to rewatch it, mate. Because, like, it's weird. You keep saying things and they're all first or really distinct memories. Like, so my brother loved horror. Right. And, like, I used to go around his house and, you know, he'd be like, oh, you've seen this or whatever. And then he put The Blob on. And there's a scene where The Blob, and I'm sure it's the 80s one, where he's in a hospital and he half eats someone, you know, in a hospital bed. And a person pulls the sheet away and it's just this half digested. And I was eating pizza around my brother's while watching that. And his body looked like the pizza I was eating. And, like, I was effectively eating what I was watching. And that was it, man. I didn't eat pizza for about 4 or 5 years after it because I saw that scene and I was just like, oh, man. Every time I put pizza near my mouth, I was like, as soon as that imagery came into my mind, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to finish this pizza now. But it's great. Like, The Blob as a monster is such a great thing. And what a creative thing to have to, like, you know, do for special effects.
Yeah.
I bet that was really fun having to do all the filming for it. It would be really cool.
I remember, like, there was another thing around, like, that kind of boom in the 80s of horror. And certainly amongst, like, my schoolmates was always, like, you obviously always wanted to see the scarier thing
or
the more goriest thing. Yeah. And I remember, like, there used to be this, little shop, like, in the sort of rough part of where we lived, where you could buy this magazine called Fangoria.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, oh, mate, like, that being passed around a playground was like, oh, my God.
The art.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, Paul's got a copy of Fangoria. And it was like, wicked, let's go and have a look. And it was like, you just wanted to go, like, what's the worst picture in there? What's the scariest thing? Yeah, ridiculous.
But it's like now, I suppose, that they have clips and things on YouTube or whatever. That was all we had, like you were saying, like what we had thought, like you were saying earlier, that loads of lads would just go around someone's house to watch bad porn.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember it for later. I'm going out.
Yeah, I see it. Got to go. All just sat around with erections.
Yeah.
It's in. Well, it's Phil gone. He's only got a short-term memory.
So, horror aside... Are you like a, I mean, we can see the psycho picture up there. So are you a real film nut?
Yeah, I love film. Yeah, I do, because it's like It's funny because I was with someone doing this tour show last night, and they were going, well, why don't you watch this guy on this comedian and stuff? And I went, because I don't like watching comedy. I can't. I mean, you've seen my act. I can't. I don't like comedy. I like watching. It's like it's a busman's holiday, isn't it? I don't go, oh, well, I've done this all week. Well, again, let's sit back and relax with a stand-up special. Yeah. So I just love film, and I've always and particularly got into it. Again, just like my dad bringing back films usually, and then just my own as I got older, just really got into it. So yeah, generally, just and I love all genres really. I'm not like specifically horror, but I think it's more of a fun one than going, here's my top five kitchen sink dramas. Straight in at four. It's another Ken Loach classic. I'm unemployed
in
the north.
This, you see, you know,
I mean, you have just... I mean, that is my go-to. Yeah,
that is Shoes Like yeah, Dream. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'll come in and be like, I'll watch Exit Director's Cut the other night, and Shoe will be like, yeah, I just re-watched This Is England.
Yeah. Like, bleak British film drama. Ken Loach, Mike Lee. Yeah, that's me all over. I love anything bleak.
But I did. But I got into film with Mike Lee. That was my favorite. Oh, really? Meantime was one of my favorite films. Yeah, love it. Get out, walk.
The first one I saw was Naked, and it was like
amazing.
Fuck me, this is bleak. But I think if you've got a bleak life, if you watch Mike Lee, you feel better about yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it could be this bad. It could be this.
I was at such a low point when I watched Naked.
Yeah,
for the first time, and I was like, I'd love to go to London and just walk around pissed all night. And one night I did, and it wasn't even as fun as the Blink film. Just very cold, really, because I didn't have a mobile at the time. I was like, I can't find where my friend lives, so I'm just stuck in London. Not as good as that film, Naked.
I might beat up some. I might beat up some homeless people now. I saw that on a film I watched last week.
Yeah. Very influenced. I might become a robot cop. But yeah, I love Mike Lee, and that was one of the reasons I got into film originally. But like I say, it doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it? Straight to number four in Sequence of Life.
That would be in my five.
Was it? It's good, isn't it? It's
fucking great.
What are your top five, Mike Lee's?
I have not seen a duffer. Like, I just, like him, Loach, any obviously, Meadows, like anything like that. It's just like my go-to, but... My missus won't entertain anything like that. She's just like, I'm not watching this. It's just so bleak. And like, oh, fucking love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
My missus is a bit like Stu, really. And your wife is a bit more like me. We just need to do a wife swap, basically. Mm. But Molly encouraged me to watch.
I'll leave you guys to it.
We're going to put the keys in a bowl. There's going to be two keys in there.
Just go, Phil is recording.
Oh, wonderful.
We watched How to Have Sex the other day, and Molly was like, oh, it's a great film. The actress in it, she's really young. She just won a BAFTA for her role in it.
Right, hang on a minute. Right, How to Have Sex, you can't follow that up with, and the actor's really young.
Yeah.
You can't say that, dude.
It's about three girls who go on their first, like, summer holiday, to somewhere like Ayanapa or somewhere like that. It's fucking amazing. The director Molly, it's her first, she's normally a cinematographer, but it's her first feature film. I fucking love it. It was incredible. It's so good. And it's pretty, you'd like it. It's pretty tragic.
I won't. I've got an 18-year-old daughter and a 20-year-old daughter.
Oh, no. Okay. No, you'll fucking hate. You will hate it. You'll hate it. And Molly's the one who encourages me. She's like, because she knows like films like these. I like them, but I can watch one every like month.
Yeah.
Because they just put me in a hole. Mm. And it was like this. I was just like absolutely like destroyed by it. But also like it's a really great film.
Yeah.
Molly was really upset. I'm like, why'd you make me watch them then? Can't we just watch them? Can't we watch Space Jam?
Flubber.
Yeah. It's a bit like the Blob.
Yeah, I was going to say, Flubber's just the PG version.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, back round.
All right, well, we're at the top spot, right?
Are we three? Was that three or two? I've lost
that was
track.
Two.
That was two.
Sorry. Well, what's number one?
Well, straight in at number one. Look how professional I am. Straight in at number one. It's a classic, and it's not original, but why try and be clever about it? It's The Thing by John Carpenter.
It's my favourite horror. It's honestly my favourite.
It's incredible. And it was, again, my dad had he'd come home from work, and it was probably about 10 o'clock, so I was in bed. And the next day went, saw This Thing last night. He said, you'd love it. He said, you're too young for it. He said, and he was telling me all about The Thing. He put his hands in his face like that, and he said, the dog's head comes open. He went, oh, he said, but you're too young. And then about 2 weeks later, I saw it was in W.H. Smith's for $4.99. But like you're saying, I didn't realise how heavily cut it was. So I was going, where's the bit with the hands he was talking about? Yeah, so my dad must have watched, like, they must have accidentally played an uncut version, which sometimes they did.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching a Logan's Run at like 1 p.m, and it had Jenny Agutter's boobs in it, and I went, "What?" And then the next day they repeated it. I went, "It's the boob version. They put the wrong version on." And then the next day it was normal. I was like, "Ah." And the thing, I got like a voucher from school. They did this thing 1 year where they got a £5 book voucher. But I realised you could use a book voucher for videos at W.H. Smith. So we just did that. And it was, the best. And ever since then, I was just like, it's been my favourite film. It looks incredible. It's got such a weird atmosphere, such a bleak. It's amazing. Love it.
It still holds up. And it's that survival horror thing as well, and it being stuck in the Antarctic. Like all those games you were talking about, Resident Evil and that, they're all that genre of survival horror, and I just love it, man. The thing from like the simple, like the soundtrack to it, to everything about it, the script is funny, it's bleak. The special effects are so grotty and scary. Like when he tries to resuscitate him, that is just like just the scariest thing ever because you don't expect it. And then followed up with one of the funniest lines ever, which is now will you get please get me out of this fucking chair? It's so good.
Oh man,
great choice. Yeah.
Oh, spectacular. What were the honourable mentions, Phil? What nearly made the cut?
So Fright Night nearly made it, which is just so, again, Tom Holland, not Spider-Man, the other Tom Holland. He did Child's Play as well, which I watched Child's Play for the first time. And I think I was put off it because it was associated quite heavily with the Jerry Bulger case in the 80s, 90s. So Child's Play 3. So I kind of, that came with a stigma, and I didn't realise as I got a bit older, I went, wasn't really connected to it at all. It was just what the papers had said. And so I watched the first one for the first time the other week, and that was incredible. And really fun. Like, again, just silly, dead silly, fun. And I thought, this was meant to... When I was a kid, it was like, it's too horrific. But I went, no, it's just fun. But Fright Night, I love. It's just got everything. It's proper 80s. If you love 80s stuff, you can't get more 80s than good special effects, great acting, silly. But yeah, what else? Honourable mentions. Those.
Where'd you stand on American Werewolf in London?
Oh yeah, I love American Werewolf. I sometimes forget it's a horror because it's really funny as well. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's great.
You just mentioned Jenny Agutter's boobs. That's all. When it just popped in.
Of
my
course,
head.
Jenny Agutter.
One other thing you were saying, Phil, was like, when they would put films up accidentally, like the edited or unedited, and then like also they went through this phase of like, obviously they couldn't say fuck a lot really, but 80s films like RoboCop, like everyone's saying fuck every 10 seconds, and I used to love watching the TV version of RoboCop because they're so clearly saying fuck you, like when he's going into he's going into the cocaine plant. And they're all just going, fuck you, fuck you. But the editors, forget you, forget you, forget you. I used to love that when they used to like edit over it, dub it with some ridiculous other word.
Yeah.
But they would forget. And then you'd see something a little bit more hardcore. And that's why there's always that rumour. You could never prove what your mate had said they'd seen on a video. Yeah. You're like, did that happen? I don't know. Like the thing, there's some really rotten scenes in The Thing.
Because
the hand, because my dad was always telling me about the hand thing, and when in the cut I had on the video, just went, and then it was it, and I was like, I'm sure he said it. I went, Dad, he doesn't. He went, oh, he says, no, he doesn't. And there's a bit when he goes on the ceiling and runs around. I went, and in the cut version, he just sort of goes up and then it cuts away. And I went, I don't think he's on the ceiling. And then when I watched the uncut, I went, oh, he's right. He must have seen the uncut one back then, like you say. So, but you didn't know because you didn't have the internet to go, bullshit. That's why my. when I was younger, my brother told me that Peter Andre died because his six pack was implants. And they burst. And I told everyone at uni. And then he came up in the jungle. And I went, what the fuck?
Who's dead? Went,
you're like a piece of shit in the jungle. I said, Andrew, you piece of shit.
Oh, I love it. I love
but
it.
But he couldn't check.
Well, look, let's switch from horror to comedy. And what's happening with you, Phil?
It's horror comedy, by the way. I'm on tour at the minute. I'm doing my Phil Ellis's excellent comedy show.
Amazing.
Which is my first big UK, because I did do my first UK tours with Rich last year. We did Hedgehog, the show I did before. We just did like a mini tour of that, yeah. Which was really good fun. And Rich did the support as well, which was brilliant. This is a show I did last year, and I've only got nominated for the Edinburgh Award.
Amazing.
I lost an award. That's what it said. I lost the main awards, but it's won a couple of Northwest Comedy Awards, Malcolm Hardy Awards, and it's just dead good fun. It's just a fun show for an hour, touring all over the UK. Go to www.philellyscomedy.com.
Wonderful.
buy a ticket if you like venues without not a lot of people in them. Get yourself down. Have a row. One ticket will buy you a row. Spread out.
We'll obviously put the ticket link in the show notes for this, so people can go and get that. And if people want to keep up the speed with everything else that you're doing, where's the best place to follow you, mate?
Phil Ellis Comedy at Phil Ellis Comedy on Instagram and at the Phil Ellis on X, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
It sounds stupid saying X.
It's weird, isn't it? Right.
Do you think it's going to just go back? Is it like when they did that new Coke thing? Is it going to go back to Twitter?
I think it's going to be like the marathon Snickers thing. It's going to take years before people even address it as anything other than a marathon. Like...
yeah. Well, I only voted leave so I could have Opal Fridge back. And what the fuck's going on with that? Where's my GIF, you lying bastards?
Oh, love it. Love it.
It's been a pleasure, Phil. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great fun. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. We're going to press stop. Don't go anywhere.
It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.